our service. I was listening to this song that my wife was playing. He touched me. It touched me. It brought me back to that time when Jesus touched me. Has Jesus touched you today? Has he came into your heart and changed your life? Where you have a new, that you're a new creation? Do you remember that day? You can have that today. You can become a new creation during this service this morning. Remember how that sounded on the harp when Glenda was playing? Not the same. But that's how I felt the way she played. Oh, Lord, help us lift Jesus up this morning. We need his help this morning. We're going to start. Maybe I'm a little diverted this morning, so pray for me. Let's go to Mark 11. Mark 11, and please stand. We'll start with the, let's start with a 32nd verse. Mark 11, 32, and we'll read down to 44. Sister Glenda, can you read that for us?
Is this Mark 11, 32?
Actually, John. Sorry about that. John 11. Did you pray when I asked? It's a good time. John 11, 32.
32 through?
Through 44.
Okay. Then, when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. For he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, or unto them, Loose him and let him go.
Can you imagine being there? Jesus came, and Lazarus was dead for 4 days. He was in his tomb, and they were upset, and their focus was, their grief was on the dead. Not the living, but the dead. He was living at one time. And they talked to Jesus, and they're trying to figure this out, and Jesus said to believe. And then Jesus he did something pretty amazing. He called forth. He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. and the living came forth. Not the dead. The living came forth. He used his mouth. He used his words. He used the word. And Lazarus, the dead man, came forth from out of the grave. Who healed Lazarus? Was it by Lazarus's faith that he was healed? He was dead. Did God heal Lazarus? Did Jesus heal him? I'll tell you what healed Lazarus. It was God, through Jesus, speaking the word to come forth that healed Lazarus. I want us to consider our words. What are we crying out? What are we bringing forth in our lives? Let us pray. Oh God, we're so thankful for Jesus. We're so thankful for the Word. We're so thankful how it made us a new creation. So thankful for that day it touched us and how we are no longer the same. Help us be able to take that same Word, that Word from you, that power from God, that we might be able to bring others forth to the gospel, to be able to change situations in our lives that we desire to be right, to be better, the concerns. Lord, we leave these things into your hands. Help us to do our part, because we know you will do your part. Help us to have strength. Help us to have faith. Help us to trust in you, and help us to proceed by calling the things forth that would magnify you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. Turn to John now. John 1:1. We're going to spend a lot of time in John today. So John started this gospel. Very interesting. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things that were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." It doesn't matter how many times I read this. It seems like there's portions of it I comprehend not. God and Jesus are too big to comprehend in my little head. But I get what he's saying. I understand. I want you to understand the author of this book. It was John, the disciple John. You remember John? He actually had quite a few titles. He spent a lot of time with Jesus. He spent time, remember, it was John was one of the disciples that was on the mountain of Transfiguration. It was John that was there. Peter, James, and John. Was not John at the miracle where they caught so much fish it almost sank the boats? It would have been nice to have been there. I would have loved to have seen that. John was there and witnessed some of these things from God's Son. Was not John there at the Last Supper? He was there with Christ. He spent a lot of time with Christ. It was John that ran to the tomb and made it to the tomb first after Jesus was dead. He outran Peter. And it was John that was at the cross when Jesus died. You remember the words that Jesus said to John. First he said to Mary, he said, Mary, he didn't say Mary, but he said, behold thy son. Behold thy mother. And from that day, he took Mary in. John had a really close connection with God. He had a close connection with Jesus. Specifically, he spent much time and went through all kinds of things with Christ. He knew him very, very well. And so when we read these beginning words of John talking about in the beginning was the Word, we all know what he's talking about, right? He's talking about Jesus. But he specifically said, in the beginning was the Word. And if you keep reading, he adds God, and God was with the Word, and the Word was God. But he specifically said Word for a reason. You know, the names that they put on John the Revelator. Some people call him John the Revelator. He had revelations from God. You know how he referred to himself? I don't know. Do you know one of the most famous names that John was given in the Bible? Does anyone have an idea? He was the one that Jesus loved. John was the one that Jesus loved. I thought that was quite interesting. It didn't mean that Jesus didn't love the rest. But I looked up that scripture, and I found it, I think, 5 times in the Bible. And you know where it's written? In John. John wrote those words. He didn't want to be known as John. You know what he wanted to be known as? The one that Jesus loved. That's what his label, he wanted to go down in eternity. John wrote that word. He called that forth. He wrote it down as a third person writing this gospel, John. And the one that Jesus loved, and he's talking about himself. That should be our testimony too. I don't want to go down as Brother Andy or what I did or what I didn't do. I want history to proclaim that was the one that Jesus loved. And why did John say the one that Jesus loved? Because John loved Jesus. John loved Jesus so much, he knew that Jesus loved him. They had a relationship together. So John could have started the gospel in any way he wanted to, the gospel that he wrote, many ways. But he chose the exact same words, a few words, as Genesis did. And we'll go there. He said, in the beginning. Obviously, in Genesis, in the beginning, it says the same thing, but John threw us a little curveball. He said, in the beginning was the Word. Not in the beginning was God. I thought, wouldn't it be more accurate for him to say in the beginning was God instead of the Word? But as we read, as we go down and we keep reading, we know that's Jesus who he's talking to. I think we all have an idea who Jesus is this morning. Do you know who Jesus is? We might have different levels. Some people believe that Jesus was a teacher. Yes, he was a teacher. Some people believe that he was the Messiah. He was the Messiah. Some people believe he was the Son of God. And he was the Son of God. But here's the thing. I want to expand your minds this morning. Because whatever you think Jesus is this morning as a Savior, and you know, I've mentioned it before, there's over 100 names that Jesus has been given in the Bible. Jesus is much more than those 100 names. Jesus is so much more than what you can think of him. More than you can grasp, more than you can use. Expand your mind. Don't put Jesus in a little area because he's bigger than life. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was Jesus. And in Genesis, in the beginning, God. What is he saying? God is big. Jesus is big. And Jesus can create new worlds in your life. You know, as you go down a little bit further in John 14, it says, and the Word became flesh. The Word came alive. And if the Word is not alive in your life this morning, I would like you to consider how you might make the Word become flesh so you might be able to experience. So let us go back to the beginning. Let's go back to Genesis. Genesis 1. Let us consider what I just said, in the beginning the Word, and then how in the beginning in Genesis, in the beginning God. Verse 1. In the beginning God. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. These words are so familiar to us. But can you imagine being there? Having nothing, not nothing, but God create everything? I don't know if there were explosions. I don't know how the heavens and the earth were formed. But I would sure love to be, you couldn't even be a fly on the wall yet because they weren't even invented yet. I would just like to be conscious and watch God do what he does. The almighty, powerful God. He created. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and the darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. I can barely capture that in my head. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. But verse 3, I want to point to these next three words. And God said. God said. In the beginning was God. John said, in the beginning was the Word. God said, let there be light, and guess what happened? It was. I don't know, God's a spirit. I don't know what his mouth would look like or how all that works. There's an area that says, and he saw, we see with our eye, that it was good. But God spoke the world into existence. That's what it says. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. You know, when God spoke words, the words had form to it. It became. Genesis 1 and 4, and God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Verse 6, and God said, there he goes again, using his words. God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Verse 11, God said. 14, and God said. 20, 24. And God said. God could have created things any way he wanted to create them. But these words are for us. God said, and it came forth, and it was. He specifically chose words to speak things into existence. Whoa, that would be good to memorize, by the way. God used words to speak things into existence. It's not a coincidence that God used words to create worlds and to create things. You know, if you go back into John, and he said, in the beginning was the Word, and you study the word, Word, most of you already know what that means. Logos. Logos. What is the God, in the beginning was the Logos. What does Logos mean in the Greek? And like if they just said it the way they would say it when they wrote it. That word Logos means something said, including thought. Interesting. Something said, something coming out of your mouth, including thought. So where did that word Logos come from? The word Logos came from the word logo. Not logo, but Lego. And that word Lego means properly to lay forth. Properly to lay forth words and thoughts. Oh, powerful. I don't know, when I was a child, 50 years ago, my mother worked at a place called Samsonite. Any of you remember the Samsonite? Do you remember what they made? Luggage, suitcases. So she worked at the plant that made suitcases. I don't know if you knew this, but 50 years ago, they also made Legos. She would bring these packages of Legos home, a mixture, and I had this big giant box that we'd throw the Legos in, and she would bring them home, and I had this giant, massive array of Legos where I could spend hours and hours laying things forth and creating things. I didn't use my words, but I used thoughts. So the word Lego means to lay forth. So we know that God used words to create worlds. Now, let's talk about his highest creation. Who is God's highest creation? Does anyone know? You are. You are. God could have created you an ant, which would have been fine, but he created you his highest creation. Oh, that's special, saints. Let's not forget how special that we are in God's eyes. Because a lot of times we forget that. You are the most incredible species. You're the most important thing in God's eyes. Amen. So, let's go to Genesis 1 and 6. Actually, Genesis 1, we'll go to 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. And in the image of God created he him, male and female. I know this is a loaded question, but what was God's image? immediately we look at it from our point of view, looking back. But if you look at it from the point of view when this was written, they didn't know much about God. It was still the first day. It was only the first day that God's image. Was it an image of a jealous God? No. Was it an angry God? No. Was it a God full of mercy? No. He didn't need to be angry or jealous or all those things yet. The only thing we understand was in the beginning, God created. So right now in Genesis 1, we know God as a creator. How many times do we put that in our labels, the creator? We know we're talking about God. And John, we just read it, John 1:3 says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And I'll say this, yes, we know God was holy. God was righteous. I think that we understand that part. But right now, the image that God created Adam in, could it be that Adam was a creator like God was a creator? That's interesting, Brother Andy. Oh, saints, Adam was a creator. He created some things. And so do we. We are creators. We don't create worlds like God creates, but you do create your world to some degree. Amen. So Adam was made in the same image of God, in the same likeness of a God. He was also a creator. God actually had Adam help with creation before he was completely done. Did you know that? His highest creation, he had him help out. Let's read it. Let's see how God had the created help create the creation. Genesis 2:19. And out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air. And he brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. I wasn't there. Maybe it went something like this. He said that God brought them, the animals, to him. So Adam's patiently waiting. Then the first animal shows up to Adam. And he's like, whoo, look at you. So what do you do? So I should call you a... Okay, that doesn't ring a bell. Maybe I should call you a Serpurpurless. How will I remember that, though? What about... I got it. It's kind of bald. A bald-headed eagle. All right. Oh, I like this. I like this. I created the name of the bald-headed eagle. Thank you, Mr. Eagle. This is kind of fun. So I got a lot of animals to go. Come on. What's this next thing? Oh, looks a little angry. I think I should call you a Angryonymous. Does that sound good? No, how about a tiger? Tiger, would that be okay? Tiger, eagle, tiger. How am I gonna remember all these things? Thank you, Mr. Tiger. Okay, next animal. Wow, thanks for help. Thanks for letting me have a part of this. I get to name these animals. Wow, you're a different kind of animal. You're making noises like you're buzzing like a bee. What about B? Would that be good? Get it? Be good? Okay. Yes, I can remember that one. Thank you, Mr. B, Mrs. B. Oh, my. Okay, I'm running out of names now. What should I call you? A Snuffleupagus. No? It just kind of seems like you would be called a Snuffleupagus. Well, maybe. How about Elephant? You like that? This is fun. Thank you, Mr. Elephant. Boy, I wish I had something to write all these down. Next animal, come on up. Oh, wow, color coordinated.
Roof, roof.
What was that?
Roof, roof.
Roof, roof. Roof, roof. I will call you a building contractor. Roof, roof. How about, let's just keep it short, like dog. Dog? Yes! This is fun. We're going to keep this short so we can remember these things. Next animal. A lot of animals. Oh, this is, wow, you okay? What'd you say?
Meow.
Meow? Oh, I thought you said ow. You were hurting or something. Meow. Okay. Let's keep this short. Can I call you a bat?
Yeah.
A bat. Yes.
No?
No? That doesn't. How about a cat? Yes. Great. Thank you, Mrs. Cat. So, Adam named the animals. He created the names for the animals. Excuse me. He had a part in creation. What does this have any relevance to, Brother Andy? You might ask him. I'm going to tell you, because the Creator and the created are still creating today. And if you didn't know that, you're in trouble, because a lot of times you'll be creating the wrong things. But the Creator, yes, he rested on the seventh day, but he kind of changed his plan. Now the Creator and the created can work together and create new worlds. That's beautiful. I'm so glad that God's highest creation, he loved him, and he was so concerned that he even pulled him in and said, hey, help me out with this creation thing. That's not a coincidence that happened. That's something for us to understand. So notice how Adam did it. He called the names. He used his mouth and he used his thoughts. And you know what? That's how we create too sometimes. We don't create worlds like God creates worlds, but we're still creating all the time. We're creating our world. We are. Amen. Let me ask you a question. What are you calling forth with your words? Amen. Saints, this is serious. Words have power. God created things into existence. John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, they're talking about Jesus, Brother Andy. Yes, and so am I. Oh, the Holy Ghost will have to show you that part. Our words are powerful. Very powerful. What are you calling forward? Right before I came up here, I had such anxiety. I had to call peace forward. I tell you, saints, I knelt down and prayed. And I noticed that anxiety lessened tremendously. But I had to call it forward. I had to call the Prince of Peace to help me. Because I can't do it within myself. I created a world one time by myself. And someone would say, their world's messed up. I created it without God. Back in John, the first chapter, verse 12, he says, and we have the power to become the sons of God. You have some power. to become the sons of God. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. Be careful, little thoughts, what you think. Because what you say and what you think, you're laying a road down and calling things to you. We have the power to create life or death with God's help or without God's help. If you're not teamed up with God this morning, team up with the created, the creator, the created, team up with the creator of the universe. Get together with God and become a new creation. It all starts with you changing. I so see it out in our world today. Everyone else is the problem. It's they that are the problem. That's not right. And them over there, and that's not correct. And our words all day long. Conspiracy theories, news, our thoughts are continually creating our world. How is your world today? Well, not too good, Brother Andy, but I'm saved. That's great. That's wonderful. I'm glad you're saved. You and God are now one. Stop creating things that are going to be detrimental to you. Does not the scripture say that we need to bring every thought into captivity? That's just not a saying. We need to bring our words. We need to watch the gates of our mouth, what we say, because they create. Did you know once you let a word out, you can't ever take it back? But you can create new words. You could create new thoughts. And with God being the creator and you being the created and working together, you can have an amazing life with the word Jesus. So it all starts with you changing, not everyone else. It's backwards. Don't focus on what's wrong with your neighbor or your loved one. Focus on what's right with God in your life. So how do we create new worlds? Jesus said it so simply and so mysteriously in Mark 11:24 says, therefore I say unto you, he was teaching his disciples something here. He was teaching his disciples how to move mountains, how to get rid of some big things in their world. And this is how he taught them how to move a mountain. He said, these are Jesus' words, the word's words. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe. He says to believe that you receive them and you shall have them. How do you believe that you receive something that you don't have? It's just like I was in prayer just a moment ago. How do I feel so anxious that I can barely put two words together. How do I bring something different when I don't have? How can I bring peace when I don't have peace? I'm just telling you what Jesus said. My desire was to be able to bring a message that would benefit the saints. And what doesn't, the Holy Ghost would work through. He says, whatever your desire is, when you pray, believe that you receive. How do you receive? For me, I just say thank you. God showed me one time when I was just so perplexed about the scripture. How do you believe that you receive? That's kind of lying to yourself. God doesn't want us to lie to ourselves, but he does want you to believe. He wants you to believe that you receive. The best way to do this is to say thank you. When somebody gives me something, when I receive something, I usually say thank you. Go to God with thanksgiving. Not, we have to walk by faith, not by sight. Sometimes we have to walk by, not by the way we feel, but the way we want to feel. Call it forward. Call it to you. Use the word. Use Jesus. Do it like God did. In the beginning when he said, let there be. Or how did he say it exactly? That's how nervous you get when you're up here. He said, that's what he said. And God said. It's so simple. It's so simple. Let us call things forward through thanksgiving, through Christ, through the word. So Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire. Go look up that word desire, not in the American but the way they used desire back in that day. That word desire is from the Greek word, I don't even know if I can even say it, ahitio. You know what that means, ahitio? It means to ask, beg, desire, or to call for. To call for. Whatever you soever call for, believe that you receive, and it shall be yours. That's what Jesus was saying. So my question this morning, what are you calling for? But Andy, you don't know the situation in my life. I don't need to. All I need to know is who to call to, what to call for. He says, if we ask and we believe that we receive, it shall be yours. The problem is we believe and receive things that we shouldn't because we're thinking about them and we're focusing on all this mess out there. Focus on the mess, and what do you get? You get more mess. Focus on Christ. Keep your mind on Jesus, and you will experience the Prince of Peace. There is a prince of the power of the air. Don't focus on that. Amen. That's Satan. But I feel so bad, Brother Andy. Pivot. Jesus said, repent. Change your thoughts is what repent means. Feel bad about the way you're thinking and feel good about the way you're going to think. Turn to Christ and stop thinking that way and stop talking that way and stop creating the world that you are so sick of. How are you doing in your life? You, the created, with the Creator, can create a beautiful life, a powerful life, the sons of God, instead of a horrible life. Let me just end with a story. There was a man and his little boy. It was on a weekend, and his dad was trying to get things done, and his little boy wanted to go play. And his dad, come on, Dad, let's do something. But his dad needed, another hour or two. He says, okay, we will. I want you to do this first. So back in the olden days, before cell phones, they had these things called newspapers. Newspapers were these, they would actually deliver them to your house every day, and they're these big sheets of paper that you read. They call it news. And usually it was bad news. Kind of like today, but they would have these advertisements in there. And he saw the newspaper, and he saw this big world on it. It was like a full-size ad and it's like, I got an idea. So he ripped it up in all these little pieces, and he said, okay, son, this is what we'll do. I want you to tape these all together, and after you're done, we'll go do something. And the boy said, okay. So within minutes, the little boy came back. It was all taped together. The world was together. And his dad was like, how did you put that world together so quickly? And the little boy said, oh, it was easy, Dad. On the back of it was a man. And all I had to do is put the man together. And once I put the man together, the world was together. How's our world this morning? Is our man together? Are we calling things forth? Jesus said to Lazarus, come forth! He cried with a loud voice. If you have to cry with a loud voice, do it. But he cried with a loud voice for the people around him. Not for himself. He was connected with God. He was connected. He was the Word. He was with God. He was God. Interesting. How is your world today? What kind of world have you created? So remember the words of Jesus. Whatever you so desire, when you pray, I hope you don't forget that part out. When you pray, believe that you receive, and it shall be yours.